Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us for this message from God's Word. As you know, I always try to direct your attention mainly to the Word of God on this program. And today I'm going to be preaching from Jeremiah chapter 17, the Old Testament prophet, Jeremiah chapter 17, beginning at verse 5. And the title of the message is, Who Do You Trust? Who do you trust? Now, of course, I'm talking about who do you trust or who are you trusting for salvation, for forgiveness of sin, for cleansing from all sin, for righteousness to be justified, for blessings and benefits, for final glory in heaven, eternal life. Who do you trust? And the prophet Jeremiah, he was preaching in a very down time. It was a very awful time in the history of Israel, or specifically the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom. Jeremiah prophesied right up to the time that Judah was conquered by the Babylonian Empire and taken into captivity. And he preached his message of the law of God and seeking to bring the people to repentance and preach the gospel of the coming Messiah. That's what Jeremiah's main message is, all the prophets. It wasn't keep the law for salvation, but it was realize that the law condemns you and that you need salvation by the grace of God, righteousness by the grace of God, that can only come through the promised seed of woman, the Messiah, whom Jeremiah preached throughout these prophecies that he gave to Judah. And that promised Messiah, Jeremiah identified him. I mentioned this last time, how in Jeremiah 23 and Jeremiah 33, he identified the Messiah as Jehovah Tsidkenu, which is literally the Lord our righteousness. And that's what he was saying, turn to God for salvation, trust in the Lord. He said in verse 5, now this is Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. He says, Thus saith the Lord, Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm. The arm being power there. What is the power? You know, the Bible speaks of the power of God unto salvation. What is that? Is that your works? No. Is that your decision? No. Is that your will? Is the power of God unto salvation your will? You know, people talk about free will today. Well, the will of man is not free when it comes to the things of God. He's in bondage. And when we talk about free will, you know, people say, well, I make choices every day. And you do. And you're free to make those choices. But left to yourself, if I were left to myself, my choices would not be in line or towards the glory of God in Christ. Now, that may be hard for you to understand and believe, considering the religious atmosphere that most people are in our area anyway, but even in some other places. But here's what I'm saying. It's kind of like this. God has a way of salvation. It's one way. And it's the way of His sovereign mercy and grace through the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. Now, man wants salvation, but by nature, he doesn't want it God's way. He wants it his own way, based upon his works, based upon his efforts, based upon his sincerity, based upon his experience, based upon his will. Many people say, well, I'm saved because I willed to believe God. No. No, you wouldn't have willed to believe God unless God had given you a new heart. That's what the Scripture teaches. And so when we talk about that, maketh flesh his arm, anything that proceeds from man, that man imagines to be his power of salvation. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Yes, everyone who believes has been an object of the power of God in Christ. So look at it again, Jeremiah 17:5. That maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. To make flesh your arm. In other words, to say that salvation is based upon something you did or something that came from you is to make flesh your arm, and it's to depart from the Lord. That's a departure. That's what I'm saying. God draws his people to himself with cords of love by his power and by his grace in Christ. And it says in verse 6, this man who trusteth in man, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. That's a bad place to be, isn't it? Jeremiah, earlier in his prophecy, made this indictment against the people of Judah. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. Listen to this, Jeremiah 2:13. He says, "For my people have committed two evils. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And number two, they have hewed out them out cisterns, broken cisterns." That's like a well that can hold no water. Now, those two evils comprehend all that is evil in man. First of all, to forsake the fountain of living waters is to forsake the God of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the fountain of living waters? Jesus Christ. Read John chapter 4. He is the living water. And what that is to forsake God's way of salvation by his grace based on the blood and the righteousness of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to hew out cisterns, wells that can hold no water, refers to man actively engaged in trying to save himself by his works. He doesn't trust God. He trusts himself. Who do you trust? Who do I trust? Now, as I said, some people trust in their works. I had a fellow tell me one time, he said, I'm doing my best to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, should we try to be moral people? Yes. But my friend, you will not make it based on that. It will not make you righteous. It will not cleanse you from sin. It will not give you a new heart. The only thing that will make a sinner righteous is the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that will wash away my sins is the blood of the Lamb of God. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? The only one who can give me a new heart is the Holy Spirit through Christ. As life comes from him by the person of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit in the new birth. Give me a new heart. And that's it. Some trust in feeling and experience. I have so many people who, when you talk about salvation, they always go to their feelings or their experiences or something that happened to them years ago. And that is so tragic. I have preached on this program, and we offer the book, What is Salvation? If you don't have that, you need to get it and read it and study the Bible. It's a guide to study the Bible. It's free of charge. Just go to our website or write us or call us and get that book, What is Salvation? And read it and study it. Examine yourself. When I write these things, I write them as to be a process of self-examination. You claim to be a Christian. I claim to be a Christian. And the Bible says, examine yourselves. Who do you trust? Who do you really trust? You say, well, I trust Christ. Do you really? Examine yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. You shouldn't be offended at that. Have your faith tested. I want my faith tested. The Bible says saving faith will be tested. And that's a good thing, because if what I find that my faith is founded upon the Word of God in the gospel, and that I'm truly trusting Christ, then that causes me to grow in grace and in knowledge of Christ. Now, if I find that my faith is not founded upon the Word of God and truly in Christ, then I've learned something. I need to seek the Lord. I need to seek salvation God's way. So some trust in feeling and experience. Some trust in riches. And the way people trust in riches, I believe, mainly what the Bible talks about, is that they see riches as a blessing from God. Now, riches, material things, can be a blessing from God. Abraham was a very wealthy man. He had riches galore, but he didn't trust in the riches. You see, riches can be a curse. You know about the proverb of the man who, in Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, I believe, where he was rich, he had lands, he filled up his barns, and what was he going to do? Going to build more barns to get more stuff, and then he neglected his soul. So riches can be a curse too. So don't trust in riches. If you're a believer and the Lord's made you rich, that's all right. Then you honor Him. You see them as something you didn't deserve and didn't earn ultimately. And you use them for His glory. But my friend, don't trust in riches. And then some trust in their faith. And I believe that's one of Satan's greatest deceptions today. Trusting in your faith. Now, what is that? Is faith necessary for salvation? The answer is absolutely yes. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's elect people, chosen before the world began in Christ, are those who come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, resting in Him, submitting to Him as their righteousness. That's what they do. They see, though they have faith, that Christ is their Savior, the God-man, God in human flesh, and that He accomplished for them what they themselves or no other human being could do, that He, as their surety and substitute, went to the cross for their sins imputed to Him, and that they stand before God justified by His righteousness imputed to them, charged to them. And so they can by faith say, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. They can say by faith, who shall lay anything to my charge? It's God that justified me. Who can condemn me? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again. In other words, they recognize by faith. And faith means believing God's Word now. It doesn't mean just believing. It means believing God's Word, what God says. So they, by faith, recognize that the only difference between themselves and the lost is the sovereign grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only reason they believe and others don't is because of the power of Christ through the Holy Spirit to give them a new heart. They realize by faith, because this is what the Bible says, that if left to themselves, they would have never believed. They would have never made a right decision. But now there are others who believe that salvation came about based on their believing, or based upon them meeting condition or making the right decision. They have faith in their faith, not faith in Christ. You see, the Bible says in John chapter 6 and verse 37, the Lord said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So basically, to have faith in your faith is to trust in man and not in Christ. Look back at Jeremiah 17 and look at verse 7. Now, The issue is, who do you trust? What do you trust? Do you really trust Christ? Verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Do you trust in Christ? My trust is in Christ. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. You say, well, that's not the way I understand. Don't lean to your own. Read the Word of God. Trust in the Lord. That's Jehovah, our salvation. That's Christ. Trust in His blood to wash away all my sins. Trust in His righteousness imputed to justify me before God. Trust in His power to give me life, to make me willing in the day of His power to come unto God. That's who I trust. Trust in Christ not only to save you, but to keep you, preserve you. Are you people today, many people, they'll say, well, you can be saved one day and then by sinning lose that salvation. Well, you're not trusting in Christ then. You're trusting in the arm of the flesh. You're trusting in self. You're trusting in you, the fact that you think, well, I'll keep on doing this or I'll keep on doing that. You see, Christ is the ever-living mediator. He, ever-living intercessor, the ever-living high priest, the ever-living advocate. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever-living to make intercession for His people. And that's why Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Now, what have I committed to Christ? Here's what I've committed to Christ. I've committed to Him my whole salvation. From the beginning of it, the new birth, all the way to the culmination of it, the finalization of it in final glory in heaven. None of it's conditioned on me. I'm just telling you the truth. You see, whatever part is conditioned on you as far as you're concerned, that's who you're trusting in. I trust Christ for my whole salvation. And the only reason I do is by the grace of God in Christ. It wasn't because I'm better than somebody else or I was less obstinate or less rebellious. No, sir. In fact, when I was really came to understand the gospel, I was fighting against it every inch of the way, trying to prove it wrong in the Bible, reading the Bible, trying to prove the true gospel, the sovereign grace of God, to be wrong. But I found out it was right. And God got my attention, and He brought me to saving faith in Christ. So that's the issue of trust. Blessed, verse 7 of Jeremiah 17, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. What is hope? Hope is an expectation, a certain expectation. It's not wishful thinking. It's not just wishing something may or may not come true. It's a certain expectation. I expect to enter heaven's glory. Why? Because my hope is the Lord. My hope is not in me. I've quoted quite often on this program one of my favorite hymns, probably my favorite. My hope is built on nothing less, now listen to this, than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Now look at verse 8. Now for those who trust in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, He says, for He shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, that is the drought, but her leaf shall be green, life, you see, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, that is anxious, worry, unbelief, in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. There always be fruit. Many times in Scripture, a tree is used. to represent life and even to represent God's people. Back in the Garden of Eden, there was the tree of life. That's a symbol of Christ. Christ is the tree of life. Believers are represented as trees. Isaiah chapter 61 calls them trees of righteousness whose planting is of the Lord. That's what a believer is. He's a tree of righteousness. And who planted him? The Lord did. Who gave him life? The Lord did. It's all of grace. Salvation is all of God, all of the Lord. That's what Jonah said. Salvation is of the Lord. So here he is. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters. And he's going to bring forth, and his leaf shall not fade, it'll always be green. That means life. It'll always be there. He'll never be dead again. He was born spiritually dead. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. But he's been made alive by Christ through the Holy Spirit in the new birth. And that life will never fade. That's what he says. Her leaf shall be green. When the heat comes, when the drought comes, when the troubles come, when the trials come, when the opposition comes, the leaf shall still be green. He's bringing forth fruit, and that fruit is of God. Over in the book of Romans chapter 7, it speaks of that. And it's all based upon what Christ did. Look at verse 4 of Romans 7. He says, "Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ." That is, the law cannot condemn you now. You're dead to it. How? By the body of Christ, the death of Christ. "That you should be married to another, even to him who's raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." We don't produce, we who are saved do not produce fruit. Christ produces the fruit. He said that in the book of John, John chapter 15, when he says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches." The life comes from the vine. The branches bear the fruit of the vine. Christ produces fruit, but we bear the works of believers. They're produced by God through Christ, through that person, and they are washed in the blood of Christ to be accepted before God. Because coming through us, they're mixed with and contaminated with sin. And so he brings forth fruit. Now look at verse 9 back in Jeremiah 17. He says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Now the heart, the mind, the affections and will of the natural man is deceptive. You can fool yourself. I can fool myself, you see. We can be deceived. Satan is the great deceiver. And one of the areas in which man by nature is the most deceived is in the area of salvation. You can fool yourself into judging yourself to be saved when you're not. I can do the same thing. Therefore, how can we know? How can we get out of that deception? Well, we can't do it ourselves. We don't have that power. We don't have that wisdom. We don't have that knowledge. But look at verse 10. Here's the issue. "I, the Lord, search the heart." God must search my heart. "I try the reins." Now, what is that rein? That rein is what drives you, the direction you're going. "I test them," God says, "even to give every man according to his ways." What are man's ways? Well, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. It's a way of destruction, the broad way that leads to destruction. It's the way of salvation by works, by will. And he says, "and according to the fruit of his doings." If the fruit of your doings is nothing more than the fruit of self-righteousness and unbelief, then what is it? That's what the Bible calls fruit unto death. Fruit unto death. So how does God search my heart? How does he try my reins? Well, look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And here's what it says. "For the word of God is quick." That means life-giving, "and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner, a judge of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature," verse 13, "that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." God he searches the hearts of his people and tries test their reins by the word of God. You see, my claim of salvation, my faith, my assurance must be founded on what God's word says, not what I think, not what others think, not what I feel or experience, but what God's word says. And what does God's word say? It says that salvation and everything that's included in salvation is totally, totally by the sovereign mercy and grace of God based on the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God with us. Christ is the only way. Christ is the one way. Christ is the sure way. There is no other way. None other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Who is Jesus Christ? What does God's word say? God's word says his name is Emmanuel, God with us. There are people who claim to be Christian, who claim to be saved, who deny the deity of Christ. You see, they will not allow the word of God to test that, because the word of God says Jesus Christ is God and man in one person. Who is Jesus Christ? His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save us from our sins, his people. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, the Word made flesh. How does God save sinners? Not by their works, not by their will, but by his works and his will through the Lord Jesus Christ, based upon his blood, his shed blood, and his righteousness imputed. Now, who do you trust? Who do I trust? That's the issue. Test your faith, test your assurance, test your claim by this word. Study it. Use the right rules of interpretation. I've got a series of messages on that, but you do that. Who do you trust? I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.